Praise the Lord, everyone. It's great to be with you today, and glad to be able to bring the word of the Lord to you. I pray that God will touch your life and bless you today. I'd like to speak to you today, the consequences of procrastination. The consequences of procrastination. Merriam-Webster says procrastinate is to put off intentionally and habitually. To put off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. Dictionary.com says procrastination is the act or habit of procrastinating or putting off or delaying, especially something requiring immediate attention. Well, we ask the question, why do people procrastinate? You see, people often procrastinate because they're afraid of failing at the task that they need to do or need to complete. The fear of failure can promote procrastination in various ways, such as by causing people to avoid finishing a task or by causing them to avoid getting started on a task in the first place. But somebody once said there's no time like the present for postponing what you don't want to do. Somebody said there's never put off till tomorrow what you can avoid altogether. You see, folks, some people are real bad about putting things off. And it's not that they mean to most of the time. It's that they just put things off sometimes until the last minute. And it is not a habit that they're proud of in many cases. Without due dates, things that need to be done right now, or with ultimatums, they would have a hard time doing certain things. We as people are sometimes bad about waiting until the last minute on some things. And this is why Christmas Eve is one of the biggest shopping days of the year. Because people like to put things off till the last minute. When I go shopping on New Year's Eve, it's because I didn't want to go in the store in the first place. But why are there delayed decisions? Because some have no sense of urgency. Because some have no sense of priority, and because some are just lazy. But being prepared is one of the most important things. We make all sorts of preparations in life, and preparing in advance makes things a lot easier and removes a lot of the consequences. It removes a lot of the unpreparedness. In Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Folks, we must be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen. We must be prepared for that. You see, in a typical Jewish culture, after a couple got engaged, the man would go away and go to prepare a home for the couple to live in. And while the bridegroom was away, the bride would be making preparation to purify her body, to make herself beautiful for the groom. And not only would the bride prepare, but also so would everybody else. Everyone looked forward to the wedding day. But the one catch was that no one knew for sure when the groom would come and take his bride. Anyone who wanted to see the wedding had to be ready to go when the groom came. the groom and all the groomsmen would come in a lamp-lit procession to the bride's house. And since the bride was unaware of the time of the return, the groom's coming was usually marked by shouting. And before my wife and I got married, she went to great lengths to prepare everything to be beautiful for the wedding. Most brides prepare in their minds and they dream for a long time of what their wedding preparations will be. But one of the most common analogies that the scripture uses referring to the church is the bride of Christ. Do you notice that five of the virgins came prepared to meet the groom and to attend the wedding? And there were five who were not ready. They didn't make any preparations. You see, they thought they had more time. The scripture tells us that the groom was a long time in coming and the bridesmaids fell asleep. And because they fell asleep because they became drowsy. The scripture says they all slumbered. Amen. And we all have those tendencies at times. But we have to keep ourselves, amen, focused in this day and age. And for whatever reason, the five unwise ladies did not bring oil for their lamp. These ladies became tired. And maybe time got away from them. And maybe they were fully intended on something going, sometime going and getting the oil. And they said, we're going to go get it here in a little bit. They needed this oil for their lamps. And folks, good intentions do not equal good actions. There are many people in the world who have good intentions. And there is a saying that goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Amen. I think these bridesmaids were great people. Hallelujah. I believe that. And probably great friends who were excited about the wedding. They just wanted, they just waited until the last minute. And maybe they thought they had more time to fix their problem. There's a great lesson that we can learn. We are not to assume more time before Jesus return. Amen. You never know. And you may be here and you may be, have lived with the Lord for a long time and you say, well, we got plenty of time. I've been hearing this all my life. Amen. Don't ever make that mistake of thinking you have more time than you think. There will be a change in their actions, these folks, later because they have plenty of time to make it right. They're thinking these things. They will be more faithful at another time. They will be more generous at some other point. Time is one thing that we are never guaranteed. Amen? You see, the real tragedy of this parable is the tragedy of being unprepared for something that was important. Folks, we have to be prepared at all times. We have to be prepared to meet the Lord. And if we do not make those preparations, we have to be willing to face the consequences of not doing what we're supposed to do. The thing is that we are not left in the dark about what we are supposed to do. And in fact, most people know right from wrong. And they know that what God expects of them. But they don't do it because they feel time is a luxury. Today, if you are procrastinating, it makes in making your preparations for the return of Jesus Christ, then I want to tell you that you need to make those preparations in your life. And I wonder, folks, I wonder what went through the minds of those virgins, amen, when they heard the shouting of the bridegroom is coming. It probably wasn't a total thrill and excitement in their life. It was probably a, what are we going to do now, kind of moment. Kind of like a deer caught in the headlight moment, amen. They realized that the time had come, and they had not prepared, and they were not ready. It was too late. There was nothing they could do. And I want to tell you that Jesus is going to come again sometime, and I believe soon. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be many months from now or many years from now. But we can rest assured that we need to be prepared. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 12, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of the God, word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then, or the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for a hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What are you doing with your time now? Are you making the necessary preparations to spend eternity with God? Are you committing the tragedy of procrastination? You see, they thought their preparations were not that important. Maybe the five unwise virgins thought that their preparation really didn't matter. You see, we know that they thought they could just get by, even though they were unprepared. And some people are quick to try to convince themselves that the way that they act does not really matter. They think that the things they do have no bearing on who they are or where they will spend eternity. So they make no effort to change. God calls us to a holy standard. And he does not care about the things that we do and do not do. You see, God does care about the things that we do and we do not do. The church is the bride of Christ. And our objective is to be present to Jesus, presented to him as a bride. Amen. In Ephesians 5:25, verse 27, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, we are in the preparation stage for the return of the groom. Amen. To take us to the home that he has prepared for us. Now, I want you to know that becoming a radiant church without stain, without blemish, is something that takes preparation. I want you to know that our preparations are to live a godly life, and they are very important. You see, it does matter how we live as we await and prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. These virgins, they thought that their shortcomings would be overlooked. Maybe the five unwise virgins thought they really wouldn't be forbidden of entering into the wedding. They just thought they forgot a little oil for their lamps. No big deal. You see, many people live their lives like that. They feel that God will overlook the sin that they may be living in because, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or they may feel that they will be all right because they are good people. But it just doesn't work that way. Did you notice what happened as a result of the virgins being unprepared? You see, they missed the bridegroom's coming. They were away doing what they should have already done. As they tried to enter the wedding, they realized that their name wasn't on the list. And their shortcomings, they were not overlooked. I want you to know that God is a forgiving, He is in the forgiving business. Amen. God is a God of grace and will forgive our sins and He will forgive our shortcomings as we confess them while living this life. You see, there would be no way for any of us to be saved if God didn't forgive our sins. He does forgive sins because He was the sacrifice on that cross. And those that do not prepare to come to God through the cross, they will face a God who has not dealt with their sin. You see, for those in Christ, they can rest assured that Jesus bore the wrath that God had to pour out on our sins. And I ask you today, are you prepared for the coming of the bridegroom? Or are you still waiting for that right time to make the preparations needed? Amen. If that is the case, please act on this warning today and learn from the parable of the tragedy of procrastination. No one can make the preparations for you. Matthew 25:8-9. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. The foolish virgins thought they could get the wise virgins to give them their oil. See, often people think that others can make the preparations for them. But the truth is, God knows our hearts and God judges us individually. So no matter what your heritage is, no matter how many Sundays that you have been attending church, God is still going to judge you individually. Nobody can make the preparations that you need to make for yourself. And one of the most humbling things that I can imagine is that I must stand before God one day. And I won't be able to pull over anything over on Him. You know why? Because He knows my heart. Amen. He knows all of my thoughts. He sees between the lines. Now, I may be able to pull one over on other people. I may be able to convince others of my godliness, but God knows the heart. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Maybe today you think that your job is to convince everyone of your faith, when in reality, your heart is far from God. I want you to know that God is the judge, and no one can make the preparations that you need to make but yourself. Don't try to borrow someone else's oil. You must be prepared yourself. You see, there is no such thing as too late. God has saved us through preaching of His Word. We have been born again of water and of the Spirit. We have been born into a world full of dangers. And I want you to know, Satan prowls about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He doesn't care for non-Christians. He doesn't care for Christians himself. He seeks to devour you and I. He tries to undo what God has done in us. He tries to damage and injure and even kill our faith. And that is why God's Word repeatedly teaches us to be prepared so that our faith does not grow weak and we die. One of the main ways Satan tries to get at us is the way that he got after the five foolish virgins. You see, they trusted that just having a lamp would make them part of the party. You see, understand this today. A lamp without oil is useless. Satan tries to tempt us to trust in our lamps even without oil. Satan would lead us to believe that what is most important is that other forms of our religion. He wants us to trust in our church membership. Satan wants us to focus on what we do and how we do it. He wants us to get lost in the cares of this world while losing focus on what's most important, Jesus Christ. He tries to draw our attention to things of this world. He tries to get us to focus our attention on each other and judging how we live out our Christian lives. He will do anything he can to distract us from what is important. Maybe he's doing that to you right now with all this that's going on. But keep your eyes on him. That's what it's important. Amen. Folks, he will do anything he can to distract us from doing God's will. And in so doing, he takes our attention away from the only thing that matters, and that is Jesus Christ. I ask you, do you want oil for your lamps? Jesus alone is our source of oil. Think on Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Remember every day to serve him. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection, we are saved. And by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, our lamps can be full of oil. Jesus has become, as Isaiah said, our oil of gladness. Folks, do not fear the bridegroom's coming. Amen? Amen. You don't have to fear that. We can be looking forward to it today. Let me just pray with you right now. Lord, I love you, and I thank you, Lord, for each one that is seeing this video today. God, I just pray that you touch each heart. God, speak to each one. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to understand the importance of staying ready, of being prepared, of doing your work and doing your will. God, I ask you to bless each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.